Genesis chapter 40, these are God's words. It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. So they were in custody for a while. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them. Each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came in to them in the morning, and he looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his lord's house, saying, "Why do you look sad today?" And they said to him, "We each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "Behold, in my dream, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded. Its blossoms shot forth, its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now, within 3 days, Joseph will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, "I also was in my dream, and there were 3 white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head." So Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation of it. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you." Now it came to pass on the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again. He placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. So far, the words of God. Here we have Joseph's confidence that God cannot forget him any more than God can forget himself. He says in verse 8, interpretations belong to God. They understood. Apparently, God had done this in the past, and certainly Joseph's family understood this, that sometimes your dreams are more than just the overactive workings of your mind. But God had at times told what he was going to do in dreams. And so the interpretation was very important. And the reason interpretation belongs to God is because the future belongs to God. God is the one who has ordained whatsoever comes to pass, as our catechism puts it, or as Ephesians 1 verse 11 puts it, God is the one who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And that's why interpretations belong to God, because God, who is working all things according to the counsel of his will, is the one who had given the dreams, and they understood that there was something different about these dreams. And Joseph, therefore, has confidence that prophetical dreams such as these, which God does not use anymore, Hebrews chapter 1, beginning of Hebrews chapter 1, tells us that God did speak to the fathers at many times and many ways, in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. And so the words of Jesus are the words of the last prophet, and God does not speak anymore after Jesus. Jesus is God's final word, which is why his apostles, his sent ones, who were, as that were his hand and his pen to write his words by his Spirit, whom he promised. In John chapter 16, the words of his apostles are the last words to mankind from God, because Jesus is the final word. But at this time, these dreams were as to Joseph as the scriptures are to us. And so as we see his absolute confidence that despite all he saw in his circumstances, dreams and interpretations, he says, verse 8, interpretations belong to God. And it is as if we, and we should, read our Bibles and see all the promises and all the wisdom and all the goodness of God in the Bible and know what he is doing, putting all Jesus' enemies under his feet, gathering in all the elect, completing the number of the believers who are witnesses to the Lord Jesus, like their brethren, like he says in the fifth seal in Revelation 6 and so on, that we know that God is always accomplishing those things, every bit as much as Joseph knew that God was not just going to accomplish the butler and the baker's dreams, but that God was accomplishing Joseph's dreams. For if Joseph didn't believe that God was accomplishing his dreams, he would not have said to the butler and the baker, interpretations belong to God. If Joseph didn't believe that his dreams were being fulfilled, that God had given him as a prophetical dream, then Joseph would have said, yeah, but dreams don't really come true. Don't let that bother you. Come over here and have your prison breakfast. But no, Joseph trusted what God was doing. Interestingly, he hoped that this would be a means by which he would be delivered back to his own land. As long as he was in Potiphar's house, he was in Potiphar's jail. But he tells them in verse 15 that he was wrongly brought to Potiphar's house and wrongly put in the jail. And so that if the chief butler, when he was restored to his position, would tell Pharaoh about this matter of injustice, the implication is Joseph could get, you know, his freedom and maybe even transport back to the land of the Hebrews. Joseph didn't even know the greatness of what the Lord was about to do. And we say about to do, but it took him another 2 years to do it, because whereas God never forgets us, our friends do. Joseph and the butler and the baker, they were friends. They were friends to the point that Joseph taking care of them because everything was put in charge, and Joseph not so much concerned about what would come with him, because he knew that what God had said would come of him would come of him. He was freed in his spirit to care more about what was going on with others. And he could actually notice that his friends, the butler and the baker this morning, when we all got up, that they seemed off. They seemed sadder than usual. He said, "What's going on, guys? Why are you so sad?" And so they were friends. When he said, but remember me when it is well with you, that's not just some stranger, that's his friend. And then at the end, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph. Can you imagine? Oh, it happened just like Joseph, my friend said. Can't wait to tell Pharaoh about Joseph. Maybe we can get him out of the prison and sent back to the land that he was wrongfully stolen from. But he doesn't remember him. God will never forget you. But your friends will. Even your friends will. Scripture tells us in Proverbs, there's a friend who sticketh closer than a brother, and the Lord Jesus is that friend. There are brothers who stick less close than friends, and your friends will forget you. So, we see that God remembers Joseph, even though Joseph for another 2 years is going to be in this prison, and the means that Joseph thought would be his deliverance didn't end up at first being his deliverance, we see that our unfulfilled expectations don't mean God's forgetfulness. Has God forgotten Joseph just because the butler forgot Joseph? Does God forget you just because your friends forget you? No. But don't forget that God is in control not only over the good, but over the bad. Interpretations belong to God was not great news for the baker. He thought it was. Yeah, maybe he wasn't fully on board with this Yahweh stuff, that the strange Hebrew slave that they had set over the prison was always talking about, so that even when he was in Potiphar's household and over the whole house and things were going well, it tells us that that Potiphar saw that Yahweh was with Joseph, because Joseph is always talking about it. Maybe the baker didn't go in for all that Yahweh stuff, but after he heard the interpretation for the cupbearer, for the butler, he thought, ooh, I'll get me one of those interpretations. After all, I'm holding a basket of bread and birds are eating out of it. So maybe I will have my head lifted up too. And Joseph says, you will have your head lifted up too. From you. Hopefully, when he was condemned to be hanged, he had the wherewithal to believe, oh, Joseph's God, Yahweh, really is God. And those promises that he is talking about of the seed in whom all the families of the earth be blessed, those are true. Wouldn't it be marvelous if, as a result of the fulfillment of the word of God, the baker was marvelously spiritually saved, just like the thief on the cross who was being executed for his crimes was marvelously saved when he realized that Jesus is true and put his hope in a dying Savior. Wouldn't it be marvelous if the baker put his hope in the Savior that this condemned, enslaved Jew, the Hebrew, was talking about? But it reminds us that God is not just sovereignly over the good things that happen. Interpretations belong to God, even about the bad things. And so when you see things that are very discouraging and devastating, or even him who can kill the body, knowing that interpretations belong to God means you don't fear them. You fear, worship, trust in him who, after killing the body, can cast the soul into hell. Because he came as a man to bear our hell on the cross, so that we who trust in him will have everlasting life. And therefore there is nothing that anyone can do to take it away from us. Not Potiphar, not Potiphar's wife, not the brothers, not Pharaoh, not the government, not friends who not only forget you but turn against you, which we also see throughout the scripture. God is the one who controls all, and he controls it all according to his plan to save unto everlasting life and unending blessedness those who trust in Christ. So my dear children, know that God is the one who is working all things together for good. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you for your great mercy to us, that you have granted to us your word, and to know that the reason interpretations belong to you is because the future belongs to you, and our present belongs to you. Help us, we pray, to trust your word, and that even if we are in a circumstance in which it doesn't seem to be coming true, that we would trust what you have said over what we seem to see. We pray that you would help us to take rest and peace and joy from the fact that you remember us. And we pray that you would glorify yourself in stirring us up by faith to obey you, trust in you, walk with you. Please help my children, I pray, when the day comes that they find themselves, maybe even literally, falsely condemned and in a prison. They find themselves forgotten by their friends, that they would remember that you are still in control and that you still remember them for good, and that you are showing them steadfast love. In Christ, in his name we ask it also. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.